You know, personnel decisions can be some of the most challenging things. Whether you're recruiting someone in business, that's why often in jobs they'll have a 3-month or a 6-month probationary period that they can evaluate an employee on the job to see if they really are the right person for the job. Personnel decisions can be challenging when you draft for a professional sports team. Remember back in 1984, we'd left Vancouver, Washington, right across the bridge from Portland, Oregon, and moved to Japan in 1980, and I still followed the Trailblazers. And in 1984, the Trailblazers had the number 2 pick in the draft. And I'm thinking, wow, they're going to get somebody really good. And with their second pick, they chose a player by the name of Sam Bowie. He was a center out of the University of Kentucky. Yeah, Danny, you remember. You're shaking your head, too, because you know who the third pick was, right? Michael Jordan. Yeah. Personnel decisions are challenging. Knowing how a person is going to turn out in the future. It's also true when you hire for ministry. Finding a person that's just a good fit for that ministry. I came across a statistic that said that of all the people who are in ministry at some time during their lives, only 6% retire from ministry. That means that 94% of the people that sometime go into ministry don't end up in ministry when they retire. It's true in finding a spouse, evaluating other people that you might think about spending your life with. It's been said that when a man marries a woman, he thinks that she will never change, and she does. But when a woman marries a man, she thinks she can change him, and she can't. Personnel decisions are really challenging. So why is it that the Apostle Paul has so much confidence in his helper Timothy? Remember, Paul is in prison as he writes the letter to Philippi, and there's a big challenge that the church in Philippi is facing, and Paul is going to send Timothy. And as we see in today's passage, he has tremendous confidence that Timothy is going to be able to do the job. And I want us to stand and read. It's just a little short passage, but I think we see in these few short verses what it was about Timothy that inspired confidence in Paul that God was going to use them to do something that was very challenging. So let's stand and read Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. You may be seated. Paul says that he's going to send Timothy soon to Philippi. After they received this letter that he was sending back with Epaphroditus to deliver. Remember, Paul was in prison. The church in Philippi had sent a collection together with a guy by the name of Epaphroditus. He delivered it to Paul in prison and said, you know, here, we hope that this helps you out. And so Paul writes the letter of Philippians. It's basically a thank you note for the gift, and he's going to send it back with Epaphroditus. And so picture, I mean, the church receives this letter, the letter of Philippians, back from Paul, and in that, Paul says, I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you soon, that I may also be cheered when I receive news about you. And you think, well, why didn't Epaphroditus just give them news? And I think we need to unpack this a little bit, because as we read kind of between the lines in the letter to the Philippians, we see that there are some things that are going on there. We see Paul say things like, be of one mind. He encourages them to be humble towards one another. He says, consider yourselves more important. Consider others more important than yourselves. We do that pretty good at considering ourselves more important than others. But Paul says, no, do it the other way around. Consider others more important than yourselves. Chapter 4, Paul urges two faithful Christian workers to get along. And so we see that there must have been some kind of conflict going on in the church. And Paul was going to send Timothy to Philippi so that he says that I may be cheered when I receive news about you. In other words, Paul is saying, I'm going to send Timothy to see if you guys are following along with these instructions that I've got, that I've given you. I'm going to send Timothy to try to help mediate some of these challenges that you have been experiencing. Now, imagine stepping into the middle of a conflict and helping people resolve it is challenging. And say you're walking down the sidewalk and you see a couple of little dogs in a fight. Okay, and you think, oh, they shouldn't be doing that. You want to get in and separate the two dogs that are fighting against each other. What do those two dogs think of you? You then become the object of their aggression. You don't want to get in the middle of a dog fight. Because instead of one dog fighting another, you've got two dogs fighting against you. And this is the situation that Timothy was going to be stepping into. There's conflict in the church. Paul is sending Timothy. Timothy's going to get into the middle of it. But Paul has tremendous confidence that Timothy is going to be able to help rectify the situation. That was the challenge that Timothy had. And so let's see why Paul was, there we go. Let's see why Paul had such confidence. Because Timothy inspired it. Paul had confidence in Timothy because he had seen Timothy in action. He says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon that I may be cheered when he comes back with his report. Paul has such confidence that Timothy is going to get the job done and come back with good news. Now, historically, it's important to remember how Paul and Timothy crossed paths in the first place. Paul's first missionary journey, he and Barnabas traveled west across the sea to the island of, Cyprus. And they traveled across Cyprus, they preached the gospel, they got on a ship again, they went north up into Asia Minor, a little bit more to the east of that in the area of Galatia, and they went through places like Lystra and Derbe before they doubled back and headed back to Antioch and down to Jerusalem. On the second missionary journey, Paul retraced his steps sort of in reverse order, and he went up north, headed west, and bent back to Derbe and Lystra. And when he was there on his second missionary journey, some of the people who had become Christians on the first missionary journey and started a church there recommended to Paul this young man by the name of Timothy. And Paul invited Timothy to accompany him and Silas on this second missionary journey where they intended to go into Asia but ended up going to Macedonia and Greece. Timothy went along as the helper, the logistics person. Timothy, we read, had a father who was a Greek, but his mother was Jewish. And she believed in the Lord Jesus, and she equipped Timothy in the faith. So Paul wanted to take him along, thinking that he would be a great asset. But there was just one problem. They intended to minister primarily to Jewish believers, or Jews on the trip, because they had the exposure to the Old Testament and the hope of a Messiah. Timothy, with a Greek father, had never been circumcised. And Paul thought, you know, that would really be helpful so that you're not a stumbling block to these Jews that we're intending to minister to. I think you should be circumcised before you go. Now, Timothy was a young man. He was an adult. And there's a reason that circumcision, when it's done to boys, is done when they're infants. Because the older you get, the more challenging and painful it becomes. And Timothy says, if this needs to be done, I'll do it. And it says that Paul circumcised Timothy before they went on this trip. Now, he was immobilized for days. But he did it because he thought it would help advance the gospel. We see it as they go on this journey and they reach Philippi. There's some opposition that comes from the locals there. And Paul and Silas, his partner, end up in prison or jail. After they're released from jail, they're told that they have to leave town immediately. And so they head on to Thessalonica. When they're in Thessalonica, they face opposition again and they're forced to move on. Who was left behind to take care of all the details? To pack up the belongings, to make sure that they get where Paul and Silas go. That's Timothy's job. He was the helper, the logistics person, the person that put into practice all the ideas that others had. There was a need. Timothy saw it. He responded. On the third missionary journey, Paul goes through some of these churches and he collects a large amount of money that's going to be transported back to Jerusalem to help the Jewish Christians who were suffering through a famine. Paul needed someone for security reasons and accountability reasons to travel with that sum of money and deliver it to make sure that it got where it was intended to go. Timothy most likely had never been to Israel before, but he was willing to get on the boat with a few other people and take that money to Jerusalem. And now, as Paul writes the book of Philippians, we see Paul in prison in Rome. And who's there helping Paul, being his interface with the outside world? It's Timothy. These are not things that Timothy necessarily had experience in, but there were needs that were there. And he responded to those needs and said, I'll try. And the more he tried, the better he got, so that when Paul finds this situation in Philippi, remember, well, we'll get into this in a little bit. When Paul has this situation that's delicate, that's challenging, he knows that Timothy is not only available, but accomplished. We've got some needs at FBC. We need some people who are willing to step forward and say, I'm available. They say that the greatest ability is availability, and that is so true in the Christian world. Because as we make ourselves available, when needs are there and we respond, God empowers us. Was Timothy perfect in everything he did? I don't think so. But he tried. He was willing. And that willingness and over time the accomplishments that Timothy made inspired true confidence in Paul that he could put him in a most delicate situation and know that Timothy would come back with good news. Notice what Paul says. I have no one else like him. Because Timothy was responded. He was available. He was fruitful. He learned on the job, but he was successful. Next, we see that Timothy's true concerns for others inspired Paul, inspires us as well. Paul says, I have no one like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. Paul says, we all think about ourselves, but Timothy is unique. He thinks about you. Now remember, Timothy on Paul's second missionary journey, traveled through Philippi. He most likely witnessed the baptism of Lydia at the riverside. He most likely met the Philippian jailer and his family who had received Christ and were baptized the night of the earthquake. Timothy knew these people, and Timothy loved these people because they shared a common faith in Jesus Christ. Timothy was from Galatia, a long ways away, different culture, different language, different people. But yet Timothy had great concern for the Philippians. Just about 4 weeks ago, Lois and I took off for a couple of weeks and went to the 50th state in the United States. And it was just, it was the week leading up to the Super Bowl. And it was interesting, the number of people that had team gear on that they were walking around. And from time to time, I'd see somebody that was wearing something that was similar to what I was wearing. And you have this kind of connection. We, one couple both had Seahawks gear on. And first thing I said is, "Are you from Seattle?" And the guy responded and said, "No, mate. You know, that's the best Australian I can do." But they were from Australia, and they were Seahawk fans. And there was just something about that, having that in common, it opened doors for some communication. We talked to each other, we laughed, we joked, and there was that connection. And that's just by having a similarity in fandom. But when we have Jesus Christ at the center of our lives, we immediately have not just a casual bond of friendship, we are family. And that's exactly how Timothy felt about the Philippians. There wasn't a lot else that they had in common, but they had Jesus. And that was enough to cause Timothy to be more concerned for them than he was about himself. That he was willing to go, that he was willing to help mediate, that he was willing to bring healing. And Paul says, "I've got confidence in him because he's got genuine concern for you." If we truly have genuine concern for somebody else, we're willing to say difficult things. Now, I know we like to be nice. We want people to like us. We don't want to say something that's going to offend somebody else. But I'm sure that Timothy, when he got to Philippi, was going to have some difficult conversations. But Paul knew that he'd be successful in those because of the concern that he had. If we truly have concern for someone, if they know that we love them and want their best for them, they'll listen to difficult things. In Proverbs 27, it says, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." If we are truly a friend, we'll be willing to wound, if it's for the good of somebody else. Now, I know that sometimes we just don't, it's difficult to have those hard conversations. And sometimes we feel insecure, that we just don't know how we can, we know there's an issue that would be helpful for someone, but we just can't bring ourselves to say anything. But yet if we truly care, we know that if we don't say something, that the person is going to be worse off. One of my, I don't remember if it was speech or homiletics that I took, but the teacher, knowing that everybody who speaks publicly is nervous, the teacher says, "You have to remember that what you are saying is important. And if we can think about the importance of what we're communicating to the person, it takes the nervousness, the fear away from us. Because our focus is not on ourselves. Self-consciousness is self-focus. But if we're truly interested in helping, have concern for others, it takes away the nervousness. And I think that that's an indication of the degree of our love, is how deep of a conversation are we willing to have? Are we willing to say the hard things? We can do it if we, first of all, have truly shown concern. Timothy loved the believers in Philippi, and Paul had confidence then that he would be successful. Now, Timothy, we also see, was consistent. And he inspired Paul with that consistency. He says, but you know that Timothy has proved himself. Paul had seen Timothy in action time and time and time again. He accompanied Paul on his second missionary journey. And then a couple years later, he was with Paul again on the third missionary journey when they collected the funds. And now he'd been with Paul for who knows how long when he'd been in prison. Now, Paul was tied up in the Roman legal system, but he was able to vouch for Timothy because he knew not only what Timothy was capable of doing, but what Timothy could be expected to do because of his consistency. Timothy was not a one-hit wonder. He didn't do well once and then kind of drifted back into mediocrity, but time and time and time again, he proved himself faithful, he proved himself successful, and Paul had confidence in him. See, consistency comes with practice. It's true whether you're using chopsticks, shooting left-handed lanes, playing the piano, or parallel parking. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. You do it over and over and over, and the better you become at it. Timothy had practiced serving Paul over and over and over again, so that he knew that when Timothy went to Philippi, he knew what he was capable of. He knew what could be expected. Paul had seen it all before. So why was Timothy like this? Is Timothy unique? I don't think so. Timothy was like this because he was in the process of being sanctified. Sanctified is that second stage in our salvation. The first one, when our sins are forgiven, is called justification. And from that point, God begins working in our lives and works on us until the time that we face Him, meet Him face to face, conforming us through His Spirit and His Word into the image of Jesus Christ. Timothy was growing in his reflection of Jesus. And I want us to think very briefly about these same three points in the life of Jesus. Jesus was willing to do whatever needed to be done. God looked from heaven and saw the condition of human sin, and how our sin alienated us, isolated us, separated us eternally from holy God. And there had to be some way in order to satisfy the justice of God with the love of God, and that's where Jesus came into play. Because Jesus left the glories of heaven, came to earth, and took upon Himself the judgment, the wrath that you and I deserve for our sin. He did it on the cross. There is no other way. That if Jesus had not died on the cross for our sins, we would be separated and hopeless for all of eternity. There was a need. Jesus could do something about it. Jesus willingly came. And I believe that as we are transformed into His image, that we become willing to do what needs to be done for the kingdom as well. Jesus has genuine concern for His people. Not only did He die on the cross for our sins, but the Bible tells us now that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, and He makes intercession, mediation for us. He is our high priest. He represents us before the Father. The Bible tells us that Satan is constantly accusing us before God. Jesus is there as the reminder that those accusations are hollow because the sins have been forgiven. Jesus prays for us. He knows what you need and what I need. And I know that some of us here today are going through difficult times, but you're not alone. Jesus cares and is working on our behalf to bring about God-honoring outcomes. We see, too, that Jesus is consistent. He doesn't change. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. Think back on your lives. If you've been a Christian for very long, there have probably been times that you have felt really, really close to the Lord. Jesus doesn't change. If we don't feel close now, it's not Jesus that moved. And the love that he has for us displayed on the cross is the love that he has for us now with wide open arms to welcome us back if we've wandered away. He is consistent. And so good questions for us to ask ourselves is in our sanctification process, how are we doing in these areas? In our willingness to respond and inspire confidence by our availability. How about our concern for others and our consistency in our walks with the Lord? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the example, the work, and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that through faith in him, our sins can be forgiven, and he intercedes for us as a faithful high priest, and that he is at work through the Holy Spirit conforming us into his image. I thank you for examples like Timothy, and I pray that we might follow in his example as he reflects the Lord. Help us, God, to step forward when there are things that can be done to further the gospel, whether it's participating in a missions trip to Thailand or helping in needs around the church or reaching out to those in our neighborhoods or even in our church. Help us, God, to truly grow in our concern for other people and move beyond our insecurity and self-consciousness, that we can truly be others-focused. And then, God, help us to just get better and better at it the more we do it and develop that consistency so that others might say about us, as Paul said about Timothy, I have no one else like them. We want to be that type of person because we want to reflect Jesus. Help us, I pray, in his name. Amen.